This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, dude? Can't hear you. Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Do you have headphones?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
There you go. There you go. You just popped
in. Yeah.
You were completely silent. I was like, the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know why. The mic just came up muted in the beginning. Like, I have no clue.
Dude, I swear to God, it happens with like every third episode. It just, shit just doesn't work. I've stopped trying to figure it out.
Oh man, look, I feel you, man. Like, it never works, especially when you're trying to get it to work. Like, and you're doing a podcast, you're like trying to get things going, and it's like, why does this technology not work? What the hell?
Yeah, dude, I got a fucking technology. This is a Shure microphone, and I always say every episode it's a Shure piece of shit because it doesn't fucking work. Where every time I try to use it, it will block out the incoming call, and I'm just like, fuck this. So you know, fuck it. I just go laptop microphone. So you work for Skynet and you're helping build the robots that are going to kill us all. That's correct.
I mean, you can't be putting my business out there like that, man. If I say yes, then they're going to come and kill me. So yeah, I've got to say no.
Okay.
What I'm going to say is that I'm an engineering student at Clemson and I build robots for fun and to do STEM outreach. Yeah. But the Skynet thing is really where it's at.
Skynet, where the big bucks are.
Just yeah, exactly.
Blink twice if they're there. Just okay. Yeah, man. So I do this at the beginning of every podcast. So I find people who are interesting, and then I purposely don't look any deeper than that because okay. I want to figure this out as I go. So because I figure I want it to be like a normal conversation you strike up with a stranger, and I figure whoever's listening to this, they're not. When I have guests on, I don't prepare questions or I don't research them or figure, you know, whatever, because whoever's listening to this, they didn't do that. So I want it to kind of be vicariously through me. So I know you do stuff with robots and I thought that was cool and I didn't look any deeper than that. So why don't you introduce yourself and let's go from there.
Yeah, man. So my name is Aaron Shepherd, as in Alan Shepherd. I'm a big like space and robotics nerd. I've got a bit of a crazy background story, but now where I've ended up is I'm finishing a second degree in engineering at Clemson University. And while I was doing that, I've really got into aerospace and robotics. I did some work with NASA. And now I actually have my own company where I create these robots that you can drive with your brain.
What? Okay. Yeah. All right. Hold on. Let me turn the fan on. You can drive. What the hell? All right.
Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, you can't just stop right there. So yeah, dude, I thought you built like little, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. That's a lot more impressive than I thought. All right, so let's start. How'd you end up doing stuff with NASA? I don't know where to start, so we're just going to start with that.
So long story short, I've always really been into, like a lot of people, I grew up in the 90s. I saw the space shuttles take off, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, my mom actually told me this a while ago, but apparently when I was little, I'd get like a cardboard box and sit in it, and I'd be like, that's my spaceship.
Yeah.
And so I would like try to go to space in that. And so right around, I believe it was 2004, which was my freshman year of high school, I remember when they announced that they were canceling the shuttle program. And then, you know, at the time I didn't know any better. And you're hearing all these rumors that there's not going to be a space program, that there's no point. And so I just kind of gave up on that dream.
Uh-huh.
I had a whole nother life, went to school, I got a biochem degree. I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I have a bunch of doctors and nurses in my family. So I was like, hey, I'll go be a doctor. Did the MCAT, got into med school, sat through that for a year. I actually remember this. I was in a, it was in a health and society class or something. And I was watching the European Space Agency land on the comet. It was 67P. And I was watching as they were getting data back from that. And I was thinking in the back of my mind, like, man, that would be really cool if I could do that. Like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like, I don't screw saving people's lives. Yeah, I don't care about that. I want to send stuff to space. Like, that'd be awesome. And so over my first year of med school, I just, as the year went on, I realized that it wasn't for me. And it was really starting to affect my mood. Not that I have anything against medical training or medical education. Like, I think it's awesome.
Did I tell you this, or sorry to interrupt you. Did I tell you that I got into medical school out of college and I decided not to go? Is that?
Yeah, dude.
Okay. I was like, cause that's too crazy. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going. Yeah. No, keep going. Sorry.
Yeah.
You did a year of it. It was affecting your mental state.
Say that one more time.
I said, go on. You said you did a year of it. It was affecting your mental state. It was affecting your mood.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was really just, the stress was eating me alive. It was, I realized that it wasn't going to get better. And you have to excuse my dog. He's barking in the background.
You're fine, dude.
Here, let me get my dog.
Okay. You're fine.
Say hi to the people on the podcast.
Hi, Poppy.
He's like, who are these people?
Dude, my dog. Who are you? My dog's 17. He's downstairs. He's passed out. He's old as shit.
But yeah, and it was, I realized that it wasn't, I just realized it wasn't for me. And so after a lot of just thinking about it and a lot of counseling and all that, I decided to drop out after my first year.
God damn.
And that was really, really hard because, I mean, here I am, like, I knew what my life was going to be for a long time. And you know the process. Yeah. Like, you go through the MCAT.
You got it all sorted out. You're like, I'm going to go to here med school. I'm going to come out in debt, but I'm going to go to residency. I'm going to be a doctor. I'll be able to pay it off. And yeah, there's a certain comfort that comes with that. It's, you got it set out. And then you decide it's not for you. And all of a sudden it's like the existential crisis comes in and it's like, so what is for you? And it's like, oh shit, what am I going to do? Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And like, dude, I was, I went through what I call my quarter life crisis because I was about 24, 25 at the time. And like, I was depressed. I was like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? I didn't talk to anybody. My girlfriend at the time, who's now my wife, like, she had to sit through and just watch me mope. And it took me a solid year and a half, 2 years to really kind of come out of my depression.
Yeah.
And during that time, like, of course, I had to work, and I ended up working for this really small pharmaceutical company out in Greenville, South Carolina. And I was working nights. And so I was like, oh my God, this sucks. Like, I'm sitting here, like, I'm coming home from work at 3:30 in the morning. I'm tired. Like, everything is just so lost and confusing. And I remember one night, like, I was just coming home and I just looked up at the stars and I saw the moon, and I remembered, like, it just all came back to me. And I was like, oh my God, that would just be so incredible.
Yeah.
So as I was figuring things out, that didn't necessarily push me to go back in for engineering. I actually will admit that what pushed me to go back into engineering was I saw Iron Man 1. Yeah, no lie. Like,
no, dude, that's awesome. That's awesome. You'd never. Oh, well, that's.
And so, for me, like, if you remember in Iron Man 1, that scene when Tony Stark just gets back from the cave and he's building, like, the second version of the suit, and he's got, like, all the holograms and he's doing the design. And I was like, it was just that process where you're like, okay, I want to think about, like, this, the design process and the iteration and the creation. And that's what made me say, okay, that's what I want to do with my life.
That's cool as shit.
And so, Yeah. And I, because Iron Man 1 came out, what, 2007? I was a senior in high school. I don't know how I missed that movie, but if I had saw that movie then, I'd have been like, that's it. So, but needless to say, I knew I wanted to go back into engineering. And so I was applying for engineering programs at the time. And then that while I was working, I was always kind of, I was just really interested in space. And I was really, I was always looking at NASA's websites and checking out what they were doing. And I remember thinking to myself one night, I was like, man, it would be so cool to work there. So fast forward about a year later, and I'm redoing my engineering degree. I pretty much had to start from square one. So I am in college again. I'm 26 years old with a bunch of 18-year-olds in my class. And I'm like, again, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing with my life? This is horrible.
Dude, I'm 29, and I enrolled in online graphic design. I've taught myself graphic design over the last 3 years, and I'm learning that. I want to get this podcast going, but I'm enrolled in there just so I can, like, get a job and have income. But no, dude, I'm with you. It's, even though it's online, it's not in person. You know, it's always the introduction, and it's always like, all right, everyone say who you are. And it's like, oh, this is my freshman year. I'm just like, dude, I'm almost 30. Like, what the fuck am I doing? Yeah. Man? I graduated college in 2013. No, I understand the awkward pain, the what the fuck. You're sitting there by yourself on the toilet sometimes, and you're just like, what am I doing? What the fuck am I doing, man? Yeah, and you know the pain that no one else I can talk to, because every other friend I have that got into med school, they finished and they fucking went and become doctors. So I can't relate to them, but I also can't relate to all the people that didn't slave away to get into med school. So finally, someone that understands my pain of, like, and you know, everyone's just, you know, everyone that loves you is watching you, and they're just thinking like, could have been a doctor. You're just like.
Yeah, and I mean, not to speak badly about my loved ones, but that's exactly what happened. Like, yeah. People were kind of salty. Like, yeah, I remember my parents were like, wait, what? My grandparents were like, no, don't do it. And and you could feel, like, the bitterness. I mean, one time I went back home to St. Louis, and I went to the church that I grew up in, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, he dropped out of med school. And it was like... Okay. Yeah. But dude, yeah, I totally know your pain. And actually, when I read that message that you sent me, I was like, oh, me and him are
good. Okay, good. Yes. Yes. Beautiful. Yes. It's you. Yeah, I mean, I was lucky. My parents never said anything. I'm extremely lucky for that. But now, ex-girlfriend, I remember she graduated a year after me, so I was down at her graduation. First time I ever met her dad, who was like did medical technology and stuff, this big balling guy. And I had just, like, a couple weeks prior decided I didn't want to go to med school. I'd gotten to Miami, and I remember sitting next to him through the entire graduation ceremony. He just kind of kept talking out of the side of his mouth. He's like, I mean, you should really think about going to medical school. And I was just like, fuck, man. I just, you know, I don't love your daughter any less. Like, but I was just like, dude, I have friends who were just like, dude, you could have gone to, what'd you do? Like, I'm just like, fuck, like, it almost would have been better to just have been, like, failed and been a degenerate than not have gotten in and then not gotten. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, I wish I maybe just didn't get in. But yeah, we're straying off into the weeds. Fucking, so you're driving back, you look up at the stars, it's that, it's Iron Man, you just kind of feel a passion for it, you just, that just a goal, something to work towards that, yeah.
Yeah. And it, and you know, again, it's as much as med school wasn't for me, a lot of times that pre-med, there are those habits that you pick up during those pre-medical years. Yeah. And part of it is working towards something big. And it's wonderful. I can't not do that.
I love, it's the best. It's the, dude, I interrupt a lot, so interrupt me back. It's fine.
No. It's natural, man. Back and forth.
All right. It's awesome. Yeah. Dude, yeah. But that's what I loved, man, was there was, you know, it didn't matter how shitty it was. You know, I'd be walking around on campus at UGA, University of Georgia, between classes, and I'd be on my phone, and I'd be going through organic chemistry PowerPoint slides, just flipping, I got a master, and I got a perfect, you know, it doesn't matter if a 93 is an A, I want a 99. Like, shadowing doctors at the hospital, doing research, just doing everything, because it was, like, just that far distant goal, and it always felt so great because at the end of a long day of studying and shitty lab partners and everything, it was just like, okay, another day in the books, and you know that you had inched a little bit closer to your goal. And for, you know, for several years after call, when I decided I didn't want to go, you said you crashed and burned, or, you know, were depressed for like a year and a half. Yeah, man, I went down for like 5 or 6. I just didn't know what the fuck. I had no goal. Yeah. I had no goal. So, I mean, honestly, I just, you know, a lot of bad habits. And, it, you know, I started teaching myself graphic design. I moved home with my parents in 2016. Mm. Not proud of that. But finally, I was just like, you know what? Like, this was last December. I was like, literally like 8 weeks ago, I was like, you know, I've always wanted to start a podcast. And I was like, what if I just started? And dude, it has been the saving grace, because it's just this, it's this thing that I built, but it's like the long-term goal. Like, can I turn this into like income? And it's like every day I can just see like a subscriber go up or a couple more views. And it's just, it reminds me of trying to get into med school. It's gruelingly slow, but it's just like at the same time, you fucking love it. There's just this thing in the, and it focuses your mind. I'm working out, I'm dieting, I'm meditating again. All shit I haven't done since college. And it just, it's this thing on the horizon, and it just pulls you towards it. And it's seductive. Yeah. That's what it is.
All right, and for me, like I've always, I didn't realize how much of a high achiever I was until I recently in life, where I just need a goal and I need something to push for. Like, I have what I call Luke Skywalker syndrome, where I'm always looking at the horizon, because I'm always like, okay, what's next? Yeah. What's next? Yeah. And now it's a double-edged sword, because I have to make sure that I always take a moment to enjoy what I have. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, life is about, why wouldn't you want to go for more? Like, it's life, go for it all.
Yeah, exactly.
So freshman year, my first year at Clemson, which is equivalently my freshman year again, I think I was derping around Reddit or something. And I remember kind of putting things out there like, hey, I'd really like to work at like a NASA or a Lockheed or Boeing. And I did it in the engineering subreddit forum. And of course, somebody was like, yeah, we'd all like to work there. Get in line. Like, you know, it's Reddit. Get like fucked. People being assholes.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, I want to see if I can pick up that message too.
Yeah. All right.
I was in the NASA subreddit, and somebody recommended that I check out the space grant. And so every state, turns out, has a space grant where NASA gives that state money to get students who are interested in doing NASA-related projects funding. Mm-hmm. And then they also help you get internships. So I found a professor at Clemson who did some really cool space robotics research. He actually makes like these tentacle robots. It's like, think like a Doc Ock from Spider-Man.
Oh, God.
And And so I got into that lab. I was like, look, let me in. I really want to learn. He's like, okay, yeah. That next semester, he got me on a project. I was like designing this flexible robot to grab satellites in space. It was really cool. And that summer, he actually asked me to help out with one of the PhD students, or two of them. They had built a tentacle robot, and they were taking it down to Johnson Space Center in Houston to test it on like the mock ISS. Like the ISS that they train every astronaut that's flown since like the 90s. We were in there for 3 hours, and we were just sitting there like trying to test our robot and making sure that I can bend into the crevices and all that. And I mean, don't get me wrong. It got a little boring, because I mean, you're in this, it's 7 feet tall and maybe like 10, 15 feet long. And there are stickers of the panels of the ISS and all that. But it was just like, in my mind, I was like, every astronaut that has ever flown in 20 years has been in this, like where I am right now. And that's just crazy.
That's insane.
So fast forward the next year, I decide to go up and apply for a NASA internships. And I remember telling my wife, I was like, oh yeah, there's no way I'd get it. I'm just going to do it just to do it. And in March, I got an email saying, hey, we want you to take this internship. And so, ironically, I kind of talk a lot.
I talk more than anyone. So shut up. All right, dude, you're preaching to the choir. Go.
So maybe like a month or two before, my wife and I, we were watching Hidden Figures, which, you know, it's the movie about the three black ladies and how they basically saved NASA.
Yeah.
And, like, calculated the reentry, the angle of reentry back to Earth. The astronauts would have died without them, et cetera. So that took place at Langley, which is up in Hampton, Virginia. And when you know it, the email came from Langley, which is ironically the first NASA center. Like, back when NASA was just NACA. Yeah, it's the first NASA center.
I didn't know that. Fucking God damn it. Everything goes back to the CIA. But sorry, yeah, go on.
But yeah, and so I spent a summer up there, and it was incredible. The project that we worked on is it's called Urban Air Mobility. And the way I like to describe it is flying Ubers.
Okay.
So Uber, about in 2016, they released a paper saying, hey, traffic in California and all these other big cities sucks. So instead of trying to drive, we want to fly you. And so they ended up, it was like this big technical study. It got funding. It became this big effort. And so now they want to essentially have these drones that are big enough to fit people in. And they want to, your Uber will just fly you from destination to destination instead of driving you, which is really cool.
Jesus Christ.
And so it's a big deal because you're about to have a lot of aircraft up in the air. It's the FAA, it's a nightmare for them. And so Uber is collaborating with NASA and the FAA. And what my team did is we helped develop virtual reality simulations of what it would be like. So we actually programmed, you had the VR headset, and we programmed like you being in the cockpit and being able to take the flying car off, essentially drive it to the destination and then land it, which was so cool.
Jesus Christ, dude. Would that have been autonomous, or would that have been yet to have a pilot?
No, it's the design is it's going to be completely autonomous. Like, at first they want there to be a pilot to be in the chair, but eventually it'll be autonomous entirely.
Yeah.
Which, well, that's another thing.
Yeah, that's I feel like you'd have to, because, you know, Uber is the draw of Uber is it's incredibly inexpensive. It couldn't be an inexpensive ride if all of a sudden you have to have a pilot for every ride. It would make more sense to call a cab. It would, right? Is that all right?
Right. And so I don't have the paper on me. I can text it to you later, but they had price calculations, and they weren't that, it wasn't that terrible.
Okay.
And like, it's going to be more expensive at first, but eventually it will come down as the technology becomes more established and popular.
Okay.
But anyway, so I did that. And once you do the NASA thing one time, it's infinitely easier to do it again. It becomes, instead of instead of having to go, like, you go through the application, but if you know the right people to call, essentially the next year I just said, like, hey, I want to work on this project. And the person was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And so my next project, which I just worked on this past summer, we were designing these flexible robots, or they're completely soft. And the idea is that you get a bunch of soft robots together on the moon, you have them in a network, form structures, and then another system will come and dump the lunar soil on top of them and let the soil harden, and then the robots can break down and move and form another structure.
What the fuck?
That's
insane. That's brilliant, though. So you could use the same thing again and again for a bunch of different structures, as opposed to having to ship something up every single time. Because,
right.
I mean, it's insanely expensive just to get shit to low Earth orbit, let alone the goddamn lunar surface. So yeah, that's.
And so, and then another thing too, is one thing that NASA is interested in is, instead of, like, when they built the ISS, they basically had to send a whole bunch of astronauts up and have them assemble the ISS piece by piece.
Yeah.
And so one thing that is very popular now, or an idea that they're really trying to push, is called in-space assembly, where instead of sending up a bunch of people, you send up a bunch of autonomous robots and you have them work together and to assemble whatever structure you want built.
Mm-hmm.
And so Now, from a human spaceflight standpoint, which I absolutely love, that's kind of sad because it's like, oh, well, that's one less reason why you'd send people up. But yeah. As a roboticist, I'm like, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wouldn't it lead to more people, though? Because if you could shoot some robots up there and, you know, if you could just have them, you know, if they're solar powered and they're running autonomously or not, or, you know, whatever, they're robots, not people. You could have those things constructing 24/7. You could theoretically build a space station that could house 1,000 astronauts. So,
yes, theoretically, yeah. There's definitely more. It's one of those you send less people up now, but you could send more people up later.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're talking about the moon to Mars, which is a my personal opinion is that you should use the moon as a training ground for Mars. Then yes, you have the robots come in, build your facilities, and then when the people come, it's all ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they were planning for a Mars landing, is a lot of the landing site would be constructed long before the astronauts actually get there. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it was just such a cool project. And again, as someone who really likes space and robotics, being on a project like that was awesome because it's you get to merge those two worlds. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of, I would say that it's knocking on the door of my dream job, where I would love to design robotic systems for space exploration. And like something like the Curiosity rover or... what else have we sent up there? Opportunity, Spirit. Those
isn't there one going systems. Right? Isn't there one going right now? The 2020 rover.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, they're getting ready to launch it soon. I think they're starting to name it too. I think they're letting students pick the name, and they have a list, and you can vote. It's really cool.
Oh Jesus, it's not going to be like Bodie McBoatface.
No.
Rover. Yeah. Would you do something like, would you ever try to work for like SpaceX?
Yes, I would. Okay. I'm not against that. They have a bit of a reputation.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't know anything. I don't know anything about it. I'm not on either side, NASA, SpaceX. I don't give a shit. What's the reputation?
From them, what I've heard in the past, and it's I don't know anybody who's worked at SpaceX personally, or I know someone now, but she's not back yet. But what I hear is the culture, since it's a startup, they tend to go through interns and people really quickly.
Okay. All right.
And I mean, you just like you're going nonstop, and
okay.
I think that's exciting. But I could also see where a lot of people will avoid that because they don't want to burn themselves out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you listened to or read, or I don't read. I listen to books. Have you listened to or read Space Barons?
No, I haven't.
Dude, you need to. I did like a month ago, 2 months ago. It's basically about like the race between Bezos and Musk. But yeah, that's kind of what they talk about with SpaceX. It's just like a grinder. It's just like you throw people in there and it's like some survive, most don't. And it's just like there's just no mercy. That's kind of what it sounds. I mean, for me, I struggled with pre-calculus, so anything above that is all rocket science to me. But yeah, that's what the book talked about. It was like that's how they're, you know, get their foot in the door. That's how they're, you know, that's how they're competing with all these other, you know, multi-decade monolithic defense contractors, you know, Boeing, Northrop Grumman, Raytheon, General Atomics, General Dynamics, whatever they all are, BAE. That's the only way they can get in and sort of, you know, become a viable, I guess, provider, you know, of a ride to space. But yeah, the way they describe it is, it comes at the cost of just of like your sanity and potentially your physical health. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how my wife would feel because a lot of their facilities are either in Hawthorne or Cape Canaveral. Yeah. And so if I'm all the way out on the West Coast and I'm working 16 hours a day, don't know how the missus would take that. And I don't know if I want to chance it, but yeah. Either way, like I think your SpaceX's and your Blue Origins are playing such an important role now. Mm-hmm. And because what they allow you to do is it's like the railroad. The government originally they subsidized the creation of the railroad, mm-hmm. and then the private companies came in and found a way to really make a profit off of it. Yeah. And that's the way that space is. So
yeah.
The government paves the way, and then now you have the private companies who will come in and create the industries and the technologies and everything else. And so everybody has a part. Mm-hmm. And especially one thing that I can say as someone who really likes space is that you can't, it's too harsh. Like, you have to work together.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that. And so at the end of the day, you can't succeed if you don't cooperate. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that there shouldn't be one side or the other. Like, some people are like, oh, well, SpaceX is this and NASA is just obsolete. And the truth is, no, everybody plays a part, and we all win.
Yeah.
We all win if we all work together.
Yeah.
And we as collective, because I'm technically not associated with NASA, so I can't say we and me NASA.
Yeah, you can. Fuck it. Who cares? You can say it. You're the head of NASA for all I give a shit. I don't care.
Oh, they care. They will find you.
Oh, okay. They blink twice. Yeah.
No, it's interesting because I think last year on my Twitter, I tweeted like, hey, I'm going back to NASA. And, you know, I tweeted like a bit about my story where it's like, yeah, 4 years ago, I was, you know, I dropped out of med school and now I'm doing my second round at NASA. And it went semi-viral in that it got like 1,000 likes and 100 retweets. And one of my mentors at NASA called me, who I know is not on Twitter, and she was like, hey, I didn't know you were coming back.
Oh, fuck.
And it was like, yeah, we saw your tweet. I was like, oh shit.
Oh, god damn it. Okay. Yeah, dude, that... Okay, so yeah. Okay, so you don't speak for NASA. Let's establish that. I don't want them coming after me.
I really make sure anytime... because, like, sometimes I'll talk about my experiences, but I have to put that in like very big letters. Like, hey, I'm not.
Yeah.
I gotta cover my ass.
Yeah.
Man.
Like, no, dude, I feel you entirely, dude. Yeah. All right. But
so in that, I know the primary interest was robotics. So
I just want someone to talk to. I don't give a shit, dude. We can do whatever. We can fucking talk about, fucking, I don't know, Disney's Atlantis, man. I don't give a shit. anything, dude.
Yeah, man. But and so while that was going on, because again, you and I we're birds of a feather, overachievers, multiple interests. You can't go through the pre-med grind and not be passionate about something.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with one thing that I'm really interested in is science outreach, and okay. In particular, I want to get students interested in science in a way that hasn't been done before, because it used to be really easy back when people were like, yeah, we're going to the moon. I mean, nothing else, like, exciting things had happened, but nothing that unbelievable had happened at the time. But now, like, since you have the internet and YouTube and kids see everything, like, it's really hard to impress kids and get them just like, oh my god, this is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And so the way I decided to do that was that by building robots that you can drive with your brain.
It's so nonchalant. Like, yeah, so I decided to build robots that you drive with your brain. It's just like, fucking come again? Like, what?
So what happened was it was actually, I was taking a robotics class at Clemson, and it was like one of those it's like one of those fun 1-credit-hour classes where you just show up and, you know, don't be a dick and you get an A.
Yeah.
And so they give you like these Lego Mindstorm robots, and you program them with MATLAB. And one day I happened to be reading on the internet that somebody had taken, it was the Star Wars like Mind Flex toy, where basically it's like you can use the Force to lift the ball. And what it is it's an EEG headset that's reading your brain state. And so when you become really focused, the headset will send a signal to the fan and cut the fan on. And then as you start to lose focus, it will slowly ramp the fan down. And so that's how you control the height of the ball.
Okay.
And so what somebody had done is they took the headset and rewired it to pipe data into an Arduino, which then you could pipe out to your computer or whatever. And so the tutorial that I was originally following had somebody like you, they used their brain to cut a TV on because they linked it to like an IR transmitter or something. And so what I did is I took that tutorial and then built upon it. I had the data piping out from the headset into my computer, which then the MATLAB program was reading the headset data and issuing commands to the robot. And so about 3 years ago, I released a video and I was so impressed when it worked. It's just, I pressed the button to start the program and then all of a sudden I was just thinking really hard about things and the robot was moving.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Yeah, that's some goddamn like Zen Buddhism shit.
Yeah.
Dude. Keep talking. No, because I'm gonna keep interrupting. So I'm sitting back to force myself to listen. So just keep going. Nope. Keep going.
Yeah, man. And so I am involved with a program at Clemson that does a lot of science outreach. And so I went to the director and I said, hey, look at this really cool thing that I made. Can I do it for, I think it was Girl Scouts Day or something like that. And she was like, yeah, sure. And so since then, I had just been doing these outreach events with the brain robots. I talk about how it works and how your brain works, and the kids always get really excited. And over the years, people had told me, like, yo, this is a really good idea. You should try to make something of this.
Yeah.
And my general rule is that if I hear the same thing multiple times from different people, I at least want to think about it.
Yeah.
And so after thinking about it, I said, okay. Over the years, I had become close with two of my classmates, and they had been helping me run the workshops. And one of my classmates is really business. He's just really business savvy. And so he's like, dude, we need to form a company and we need to like share this. And I was like, okay. And so as of the beginning of this year, I officially have a company.
Fuck yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, man.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what led to this podcast is I had enough people over the years telling me, like, Tommy, you can fucking talk to anyone. Like, my best friend told me last November, like a week before I started this. He's like, dude, you've been doing podcasts your whole life. You just haven't been recording it. And I was like, that's a good fucking point, dude. So, yeah. But, yeah, man, it's... Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. So, now how... What exactly is your company... What is it or what is it going to be? Like, it's... What... I'm too stupid for robotics, but what are you gonna I guess capitalize on literally and figuratively with your goddamn psychic robots?
So there's a couple directions we can go. Right now we're primarily marketing it as a brain exercise tool because you have to put your brain in certain states to make the robot do certain things. Like, now I have it programmed to where, and of course, like I went back, redesigned the robot, did it all on open source hardware. So like Arduinos, not Legos. So basically I can claim that this is mine.
Yeah.
And so we're marketing it. We are marketing it, you know what I mean, as a brain exercise tool.
Okay.
But one thing that we notice is that it's really, really good in these STEM outreach events. And so what we'll personally do is go to after school programs or different festivals and we'll demo it for students. Mm-hmm. And then what we're hoping is that we can also set up contracts with schools and programs where we can go in and demo the technology, show these students the science and engineering behind it and provide that outreach service / educational aspect. Mm-hmm. And just make it interesting for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like you said, it's, you know, I mean, relatively, it was easier to sort of get a generation excited about space when it was, you know, at the time it was, when was Kennedy's speech? Was it 62 about the moon? And so what Kitty Hawk was, 1902, 60 years prior, we just flew, and now you're saying we're going to the fucking moon. And then they did it. Like, you know, it's that's the other thing. It's like, and then they did it. But I mean, yeah, that's again, relatively, that's an easy way to get everyone, you know, inspired. It's sure, we had the space shuttle, and you could argue the International Space Station, but yeah, it's, there's no, there, you definitely don't get the same kick out of out of a rover. Like, it's insane. It's cool. Like, or you know, like the, you said, landing on the comet, 67P. Was that it? Yeah. It, you know, it's, that's, it's only so cool. I would say, again, in my completely uneducated opinion on this, I would say maybe like the landing of the Falcon Heavy, the side boosters. Yeah. That, like that. Yeah, I would say, you know, I would say that was pretty like inspiring, but yeah, there's no like mass attractor.
Right. And it for me, I think it's because as time has gone on, you just have to up the ante, and you almost have to show people the magic that technology is.
Yeah.
And we just did a demo yesterday, and of course, like, there wasn't a hookup for our laptop, so I didn't have slides, so I couldn't read off of it. So I was like, okay, fuck it, I'm gonna wing it.
And fuck, so, do it live. Yeah.
Fuck, do it live. This ties back to something. So my wife is actually, she's in the process of starting her own personal brand for, she's a teacher, and she focuses on teacher self-care. So she's reading all these books. And so by her reading all these books, I'm hearing about all these books by proxy. And one of them is, it's called Start With Why. And it talks about really successful brands and companies. They're successful because A, the why they're doing what they do matches their actual actions, and B, the brands that have loyal followings. So think Apple. People don't buy Apple because it's inherently better. People buy Apple because there is an emotion that Apple invokes within them.
Yes.
And so it's finding that emotion, or finding that deep-seated desire, and invoking that. And that's what's going to make your brand, your product, your company, whatever, successful. And so in thinking about that, what this project, or what this product that I'm offering does, is it satisfies that innate human desire to feel like a fucking superhero.
Like, literally, to be fucking goddamn Doctor Strange. Like, you can
exactly,
you move shit around. It's, yeah, man, that seems like the sort of quantum leap you'd need, you know. Going to the moon, like, that's a huge one. Landing the rockets like Falcon, okay, but it's still not as like going to the moon. Like, goddamn, right. robotic telepathy? Yeah. That's exactly. Okay, yeah. I see where you're going.
And so with that, like, when I was talking to the students, the thing that I said, because again, I'm just totally pulling this shit out of my ass, but I'm like, okay, what kind of superpowers do you want to have? And, you know, kids will say, like, I want to fly. One kid was like, I want to shoot out fire. And I'm like, okay, Fire Nation, like, don't fuck up the rest of them. But then, after they talked, I was like, well, you know, one superpower I've always wanted to have is to be able to control things with my mind. And then all of a sudden I brought out the robot and just started moving it. And all the kids were like, holy shit, this is awesome!
Yeah. Yeah, but that's I mean, I'm kind of like at a loss for words, but no, that makes, I mean, that's inspiring me, and I'm 29 years old and trying to make a podcast. I don't have anything to do with robotics, but yeah, it's you definitely have that inspirational level. It's
right.
Yeah.
And so and with it too, like, for me, this is, I mean, yeah, the money would be nice if it came, or like, of course it would be nice. I'm not going to say no, for me, like, this is about, like, this is the culmination of my entire journey. Like, I put my fucking soul into this project.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't care if it makes money, but if it inspires people, if it makes them think something different, if I if one kid is like, holy shit, I need to pay attention in math class so that way I can learn to do all that that stuff with robots, then I did my job and fuck it, we good.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want.
Yeah. No, dude, it's, but, I mean, in Space Barons, Bezos and Musk both talk about, like, growing up but being inspired by the space race. Like, there's two people, just two, but look what they're doing. They're shifting the entire... They're literally shifting the potential outcome of humanity. Like, so it's not just some idyllic, romantic, like, you know, I just want to inspire people. Like, no, like, some crazy fucking shit can come from that.
Right. And so I think... And going back, I mean, I don't... I'm not trying to speak badly about other disciplines. I think the world needs everything. We need artists. We need writers. We need a little bit of everything. Maybe not as many lawyers because, I mean, I'm just, one of my roommates from college is finishing up law school now. So I give him shit all the time, but,
one of my best friends is a lawyer and I shit on him too. Yeah. No, I got you.
But you know, we're running into some really big problems. Like, whether you like it or not, global warming is happening.
Yeah.
Overpopulation. Whether you like it.
Yeah.
You know, those are challenges that are, that's a challenge that it's going to take a lot of brain power. And unfortunately, you need to be able to do math and science, and you need to be able to engineer the shit out of some things.
Yeah.
And so with that, we're going to need people to do that. And when by presenting this technology, whether or not it's exactly what they want to do, I just want to provide a different outlook on what math and science is and what you can do with it. Because to me, like, I sat through differential equations and I didn't really care then, but when it was 2 a.m. and I'm trying to get my robot to work, and all of a sudden I've got to write equations to describe the motion of it, and I start seeing derivatives and integrals flying around, I'm like, oh, fuck, I really needed to pay attention in class.
Yeah.
And so I remember that when I'm in class and, like, I'm checking out, and I'm like, okay, I'm about to check out, but what if I need this later? Or even if I don't really need this, this process of, you know, learning how to stay up and really work out some problems.
Yeah.
Say, like, that's a skill. Like, that's a patience. And actually, I was talking about this to somebody yesterday, but in this age where everything is instantaneous, like, everything is instantaneous except the problems that we're facing. Like, it's going to be a long, tedious, methodical process. Yeah. You're going to try, you're going to fail, you're going to have to try 8 different things.
Yeah.
And I feel like a good, solid education in your STEM fields prepares you for that.
Yeah.
Because unless you're a genius, you're going to be up late.
Yeah.
You're going to be, like, knocking your head against the wall, like, how the fuck do I do this? But eventually you figure it out.
Yeah.
And there's a patience that you learn. And I really want to help pass that patience on to a generation where everything is instantaneous.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely, like, you mean, you know, for a long time, I looked back at college and I felt like I just threw it away because I'd spent all of it trying to get into a school that I'd end up not wanting to go to. But yeah, I mean, and I'm preaching to you. But honestly, I would say I probably didn't realize until starting this podcast 8 weeks ago that, like, even though I'm not using literally anything that I learned in college, the one thing I am learning is just, or I'm falling back on, is just the gruesome work ethic of just, like, but a positive thing though, like, not just like you gotta, you know, grind till you're miserable, but just, like, do it because, like, the end will come, and, like, and you'll get the gold at the end of the rainbow. Like, yeah. And it's if anything, you need to, kind of like we talked about earlier with goals, it's, you know, anyone can work hard when the goal is fresh in your mind. You know, it's, oh, I'm gonna be a doctor, I want to be an astronaut. Like, yeah, anyone can go to the library the first day and study 10 hours. What about the second day? What about the fifth day? What about the 27th day when all your friends are going out drinking and you got to do it again and again and again? The only thing that keeps you going is there has to be a goal that's so fantastic that it you're like, okay, like I can't even see it right now, but I know it's there. And I know if I keep going in this direction, I'll get there. And for me and you, it was med school. For me now, it's, I mean, like you said earlier with like robotics, like, sure, it would be cool if this made a ton of money. Who the fuck's going to say no to that? My goal is to turn this, something I like doing, into enough money for rent. Like, right. That's my goal. But to me, that's the fantastic goal. That's the, and you're right. You know, you're talking to a, you know, a kid and all they want to do is play video games, like, or, you know, go play tag or whatever. And you say like, hey, let's, you know, let's go to the moon. Like, or we don't have that now, but if you can show them fucking telepathic robots, that's something that you're speaking their language. It's like, oh, okay, superhero. Like, that's what I can be. And that's what's gonna, yeah, like, that's what you, like you said, that's what's gonna keep you going till, excuse me, till 2 a.m. Like, that's what's gonna, yeah, I think you just, there has to be some, I keep saying it, but it, yeah, there has to be some fantastic goal. I mean, like, awesome, like, two words, like, awesome. Like, it needs to inspire awe. And
right,
yeah, that's what has to get you into it. Like, yeah, I mean, that's beautiful. That's, yeah, fuck yeah, man. You're goddamn Tony Stark.
Yeah, man, you know, that was the goal. Like, that was the goal. And honestly, as much as I complained about the path that I've taken, and I still complain now, as a matter of fact, I was complaining about it this morning because, like, of course, I'm in school again and I'm broke and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah, the goal, it's, you don't have the same, you saw Iron Man the first time or you're driving home and looking at the stars. That's what I was talking about. It's easy when it's fresh and crisp and sexy and it's right there. But, you know, when you're a freshman in college again and you've already done this, yeah, that's where you're like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what the fuck
am I doing? Or you failed, in my case, you failed differential equations and you're like, the fuck am I doing?
Yeah,
I failed three classes and I've failed so much throughout the way, but every failure just, it because I love what I do and because I understand the implications of what I'm trying to do, every failure is like, it's just a lesson. And even if we're going to go back to this theme of the space program, as much as we don't like the big failures, whether it's Apollo 1, Challenger or Columbia, we really, really learn some shit from those failures. Like, and so it's one of those things where I complain about the journey all the time. I'm annoyed about it all the time, but I don't think it could have played out any other way.
Yeah.
And even just if it's just I have enough of a biological background to understand the brain, and I have enough of an engineering background to build robots, and I have a weird kooky path that allows me to combine the two and know what I'm talking about, then so be it.
Yeah.
So it's it's been a wild ride, and I remember when I was younger saying, like, I don't want to have a boring life. And yeah, there are times where I feel bored, but when I look back on the body of work that is the last 6 years of my life, it's been pretty it's a lot.
No, dude, that's, you know, whenever I get, it's the same thing, whenever I get, you know, down and I'm like, the fuck am I doing? You know, you get online and you see it seems everyone, you know, has all their shit together. And you're just like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, one thing I do have is, every night I can lay down and I'm like I'm fucking doing it. Like, I'm going for it. And it's maniacally depressing and anxiety inducing, but yeah, it's at the end of the day, you just lay down. You're like, I'm fucking, like, I'm not laying down thinking, like, what if, you know? To me, that's worse. That's death. That's worse than death. Going to bed every night going, what if I took a shot at a podcast? Or what if I took a shot at robotics? Like, excuse me. So so with your medical background, Is there, I don't know how to word this, using remote controlled robots to do medical procedures in space were on Mars. Is that like a thing? Is that, or is that just some stupid sci-fi that I'm conjuring up?
I don't know. I know that there's teleoperated robotics, which we do, mm-hmm. but we do here mm-hmm. right now. I don't know if they would want to do that from space, but I'm just going to say I don't know. Like, I don't want to say anything that's inaccurate, mm-hmm. but that'd be cool if it was.
Yeah. Like, yeah, well, no, I was thinking, like, you know, let's say we have a Mars colony. Sure, you're going to probably, you know, at least one person's going to have to be a physician, but it would almost be easy. It's like, it's easier to send a 3D printer and then just upload whatever schematics it needs and it can form, as opposed to bringing a million different things. It almost seems like it makes sense to, like, send a surgical robot, but then be able to, from Earth, you know, have a endocrinologist or have a neurosurgeon or have a cardiothoracic surgeon or have whatever, a dermatologist, as opposed to having to bring one, each one to Mars. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see that. There are some technical challenges with that because you have to think about the signal speed latency. Of light,
yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
You're on about, from Earth to Mars, it's going to be about a 15 to 30 minute delay, depending on orbit.
Yeah, you can't.
So, I mean,
if you slice an artery or something, you can't, 15 minutes later, you get the next image and the person's just fucking bled out. Yeah. Oh, fuck. All right.
It's like, oh, they've been dead for 10 minutes now. Yeah. Oh, shit.
But I've been putting in 10 minutes of input. So you've just been slicing and dicing this fucking corpse. It's like a fucking horror movie. But,
anything's possible. I think that there, I wouldn't be surprised if that's been proposed. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was, if that's been talked about. But I'm just sitting here thinking, like, oh my God. Well, I guess if they send, like, if you have a constant data stream like what we have, it would just be on a delay, so you'd be seeing things in real time. It would just be like, yeah, 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know, man. That's an interesting question.
I think you'd just have to, maybe you'd have your on planet physician watching over. And they could, I don't know, maybe they would be a general surgeon, have like a general idea of like how to stop bleeding or something. And so, like, if something's happening and there's a 15 minute delay, it's real time for the surgeon, but it's happening 15 minutes prior. I don't know, maybe like they would be able to shut down the robot or something as opposed to waiting 15 minutes. But yeah, I don't know. What about, and this is probably going way beyond the scope of either of our intellectual capabilities, what about like electron entanglement, like instantaneous entanglement? Like,
I've heard about that. I would be really interested to see if that, how that holds. Because if that is a thing that you're talking, that's a game changer, because now you can spread, because if I recall, you can spread the electrons across an infinite distance.
Yeah.
And they will wiggle with each other. So now no comm delay whatsoever.
Yeah.
That's going to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But now if you had that, then hell yeah, we'd have all kinds of things on. You would have people that would like be in Ubers here on Earth, just picking up astronauts on Mars, like from like a game station in their car or something. It'd be something ridiculous like that.
Fuck, dude. I'm trying to keep up with you, but this is like the scope of this conversation is so above like my understanding. I'm trying to
it's all good, man. You are doing awesome at this.
I'm trying to have good questions, but like this is all goddamn black magic to me. So what is most interesting to you? What have I not asked that you want to touch on? Because like I don't know this. And it's, I feel like I'm, I don't want to be like asking you like ABC questions. Like,
you know, man, ask away. Like, ask what you feel. Like, honestly, I deal with kids. I have been asked every question that you can possibly think of. And then some.
Okay. So what's the immediate future for you with your company?
So we're currently demoing. We're trying to set up a list of clients. We're actually working with a local school in the Greenville area. Mm-hmm. We're going to help out their science program, and they're going to help us refine our robots. And so they're going to give us everything from actual real user data that we can track to say, like, hey, does this robot actually help them pay attention better or pay attention more? And they're going to give us things like, oh, well, do you like the shape of this robot? Do you like the colors? Because now I have them changing colors, too. It's pretty sweet.
Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah. Oh, I'm very proud of that one. It took a long time to work it out.
So it's not just like, you know, different color shoes or different color Legos or something. They change colors, like, in real time?
So I have these LEDs, and the LEDs can be multiple colors. And so when you become focused, or how about this? When you connect to the robot, it will stay green to show that you're connected. As you become more focused, it will turn a reddish color. So it'll actually go from like green to yellow to orange to like a very bright red, the more focused you are. And it'll start moving in one direction. And then as you become more relaxed, it will shift and go blue. And I just have the LEDs. I'm just changing the signal that you send the LEDs every time once your brain hits a certain threshold. Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. You could use that. Have you thought about marketing that towards like anxiety? Like, you know.
Yes. So that's, we're trying to be very careful because without a real study to back it up, that you can get into some trouble.
Yeah.
But we were thinking about anxiety. We were thinking about ADHD, using it. We want to establish it as an exercise tool, but if we can get a study that shows it as a therapeutic tool, oh, that's a game changer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even someone like myself, I meditate for a half hour every day, not because it's, you know, not because of some inner soul searching, but because it just keeps anxiety at bay. Like, I'm going to meditate after this. Like, it's, you know, right now the only really method there is counting your breaths, you know, inhalation, exhalation, because the longer you're like conscious for them, like if you just start counting, when you first start, you know, it'll be one, okay, two, and then three, and then your mind starts to go, but you'll keep counting is what I found. So you'll come back and you'll be like 13, and how did I get to 13 over? But, you know, like the last one I remember is three, and then, you okay, well, I thought about I have to wash my car. You're like, okay, 14, 15, and then you're off again, and you come back and it's 27, 28. But what I'm getting to is I found when I do that, when I'll start to get to, you know, whatever, say 80, mm-hmm. and I'll start to 81, 82, but I'll stay there for much longer. I'll be conscious for 83, 80, you know, you'll go 50 numbers and then your mind will slip a little bit. You'll come back, but you get going for these longer and longer intervals. And I mean, dude, I would say when you do it correctly, it rivals an anxiolytic, like Valium or Xanax. I swear to God, you can feel all your muscles just, and like, now I'm saying this as someone with like severe anxiety, like, and who's been on anxiolytics before, like it's on par with that, but it's so hard because there's no real way to tell if you're doing it correctly, really, aside from counting. But I don't know. I feel like with what you're saying is like, I don't know. I'm just thinking of something that like because like your brain gives off like different waves through different levels of activity, right? So you got like what you
yeah.
got al- I don't even is it theta, alpha? I don't know what the hell they are.
Yes, alpha, beta. Yeah, yeah. You okay. look, man. You yeah. know what you're talking about. Okay.
But yeah, one of them is whatever is like you're more like they when they do fMRIs of like monks in Tibet, they find that they can, you know, go to that mindset. They can literally scientifically like quantitatively look at it, not just like, oh, he's at peace. Like, no, we're fucking looking at the screen. He's, you know, he's, you know, like, we have data. He is at goddamn peace. Like, it's, but they, if you could bring that to, you know, to the layman like me, where I don't need a team of doctors, you know, watching my brain waves. And I also don't need to go, you know, go on a hiatus to the Far East and you know, go to some mountaintop and try to, you know, find the inner self, the Brahman, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't have that time. Like, you know, I like to meditate in the morning and then finish and hop on the podcast. I don't have to, you know. So I'm just thinking if you could have something that, well, I don't know, because I do it with my eyes closed, but if you, so you're using colors. I don't know. Maybe if you had like a vibration feedback or something, or you're like, sitting on like or if you're sitting on like a you know like a pad or something, and it you could have heating or cool or anything that's like a slight feedback of when you're getting closer to what's the calm what's the calm wave.
I believe so. The meditation wave I've been looking at is alpha.
Okay.
So there may be other ones, but when the NeuroSky, the company that I get the headset from, they say it's alpha. So, okay. I take their word for it.
So let's just call it alpha. It's, yeah, if you could have, or even if you just had a gradient of, you know, normal, chaotic, human condition mind, fuck, what am I doing? What am I doing? God damn it. I'm getting old. I don't know what I'm doing. You know, the mindset. If you could go from, if that could be your baseline, and I don't know, maybe you just have it like vibrating or something or whatever, a pad that's heat or hot or something. And then as you get closer and closer, it starts to slow down. And then,
awesome.
Yeah. Well, and then as you come back, as opposed to 74, 75, man, that was so weird in college. I used to have that 81. Fuck, God damn it. Instead of that, where that's your feedback. Shit. What if you just had something that, you know, you start to go and it's just, you wouldn't want it to be like a pulse. You wouldn't want something, because that's too interruptive. That might throw you out of the meditative state entirely. You'd want it to be like a very slow, like, so, you know, you'd be sitting there and your mind would be wandering. Oh, yeah, I remember that guy I used to study with in biochemistry. Like, oh, yeah, his girlfriend was hot. Or, you know, but then all of a sudden it'd be, and it would be, oh. But instead of having to wait until you get to that weird thought and all of a sudden it's 91. Fuck, how did I get to 91? You could kill that before it even started. Or right after it started, as soon as you start to slide, 81, 82, I haven't had applesauce in for, like, that's what it would be. Like, dude, you could really, shit, man. How many charlatans make money off, like, bullshit, like, spiritual self-help shit? Like, you know, you gotta, you know, be the lion, or, you know, whatever, just all that, oh, you know, those motivational shit you see on Instagram, which is like, what the fuck is this, you know? A lion, yeah. Dude, you could actually do that. You could make a legitimate, you know. But yeah, like, I don't think that would be too cool. I'm talking out my ass, but No.
Like, dude, I'm taking mental notes. And okay. I'm about to go back to my boys and be like, yo.
Okay. Well,
let me tell you what I just heard.
So, you know, you just give me 5%. All right. Just, you know, write me in. No, but, dude, I'll be your PR. I'll use the podcast for PR. But
exactly.
But dude, it absolutely could work though.
It could. That is actually, like, that's a really good idea. And we were So we were originally looking at the focus aspects of it. And in the back of my mind, I know we had the meditative aspects too. And so that's a, we have actually come up with a bunch of ideas, and we have them in a list of, okay, once if/when we really take off, we're going to do like every big company does, and we're about to get into a little bit of everything. And that's, dude, like, that'd be incredible. We also talked about doing video games with your mind.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, say, the idea that I had is, say you're like, you're in a VR program, and so you've got the goggles, or hell, even AR, which AR is probably better because VR is, but anyways, so say you're like, you and your friend, it could be like Dragon Ball Z, where you have to sit there and put your mind one way to do the Kamehameha and then send it out.
Yeah, you could absolutely do that. That would... See, I'm looking at it from like someone with like an addictive personality. I would never stop playing video games. I would never stop, man. That's, dude, I sold my Xbox last fall because I was like, this is all I'm fucking doing. And no, dude.
Oh man, yeah, but there's just so many different directions, and we actually did experiment with software. I because again, my first summer at NASA, I got really good at programming like in Unity, which is a game engine, and so we wrote Pong, and you were controlling your paddle with your brain.
Jesus Christ.
And so that had a little bit of latency issues that we're still working on, and it's a project that we said, okay, we can do it, and we have it in the back of our toolbox, and that's definitely a, when we want to explore that. However, at this time, like the robots are just like, for kids especially, like that's what's doing it. Like the kids were cool with the Pong. Like the Pong, I think, is cool with the adults or like gamers who are like, oh, dude, this is awesome. I can control things with my, but for the kids, seeing the robots, moving them, we do different things. Like we have the kids race the robots up and down the floor. We'll have kids. What we just recently did is we did like a robot wrestling where we place all the robots on a table. We tell the kids to knock the other team, the other people's robots off.
Oh, geez.
The potential is almost endless. And there's so many things that we want to delve into. And it's just really exciting. Like it's hard for me to pay attention in class now because I'm trying to finish up my degree and I'm like,
I mean, I can see it. It's bursting at the seams. I'm sorry if my mind's transfixed on it, but I'm just thinking about the meditation thing because how many people are hooked on Xanax or clonazepam or not even, they gotta smoke a blunt every night, or you know, watch porn or eat fast food, anything to distract your mind. Because I mean, you know, at its base, a lot of these things we all do is to, you know, get away from anxieties or get away from things you don't want to address inside. I mean, what the fuck is Reddit? Get on there. You know, it's like, if you ever seen the meme, it's like my parents, like, why do you scroll me? Why do you like look at memes all day? And the next thing is like, it's just like the kid looking at the camera and he's like, so I don't have to address my inner thoughts. But it's true. Like, what the fuck are we, you know, like all the millennial memes, you know, everything, you know, me in real life. It's all, but I mean, at the core, like it is, you know, it's all about how do I escape? How do I get away? How do I, you know, it's, we can constantly bombard ourselves. And, you know, it's hard to sell meditation because, unlike the moon or making a podcast or robotics, you can't really show the end goal to people. Like, you have to meditate to get to that point. And once you find that peace, then you're forever remembering it and like, okay, I can get there naturally. But it's very difficult, like, because you, do you get what I'm saying? Like, you have to be there to see it. So it's hard to sell that to people. Well, you know, if you could, I mean, the language that our generation speaks isn't like, okay, you need to go out into a field and sit under the sun and count to, no, if you could say, hey, strap on this headband, and when you get to the blue light, that's peace. Well, there you fucking go, dude. That's, I mean, yeah. There's an app worth tens of millions of dollars, Headspace. And I've used it before. It's a shitty app, but it's about like how to meditate. Dude, if you could...
Yeah.
If I don't want to shit on it. I just didn't like it. But dude, if you could have like... If you just had something as simple as, you know, here's a headband, and, you know, I don't know, maybe you've got a watch or something, and as it vibrates less, you're going towards peace, and as you're slipping away, it brings you back.
Right.
I don't have any money, but I would fucking buy that right now. Like, that's right. Yeah, man, that's... But, I mean, if you want to talk about inspiring people, like, shit, man, that's how you'd inspire people, you know, my age is, you know, as kids, like, yeah, you can show the robots and stuff fighting and changing colors, and, like, that's badass. But, you know, if you want to reach people like my age, that's, for at least for me, that wouldn't work as much versus if you could say, hey, here's, you know, why don't you put your demons to rest for just 20 minutes?
Right, yeah.
You've got my undivided attention. Like, that's that's how you segue into goddamn Mars surgeons. It's, again, easy for me to say all this because I have no idea what I'm talking about, but yeah.
But it, honestly, like, again, you people like you are why things are successful, because you're going to provide a perspective that me and my team, we're going to miss. And so, because we're in it and we're creating it, yeah. But when we hear what we're creating, when we hear what we're designing to, that makes it infinitely easier instead of us trying to guess or us.
Sure.
Because one thing I think a lot of new technologies run into is we make it and then nobody knows how to use it for a little while. So it kind of gets, I don't know. Yeah. The computer was like that, if I recall, where they made it and nobody knew what to do with it. And it took a long time before it became what it was. And it was a lot of people saying, well, hey, I need it to do this. Can you make it do this? Well, yeah, sure.
Wasn't that Steve Jobs' whole like vision? He wanted to bring this super complex thing that you used to have to take computer courses in college. You had to learn punch cards and fucking vacuum tubes. And he was like, no, like I want the layman to be able to just punch some keys and, you know, the user interface be that easy. Yeah, I mean, that's... Yeah. Shit.
And so, yeah, like, honestly, man, you... I might be hitting you up and being like, yo, so 5% royalties, is that what we talking?
Fuck yeah, man, I'll sign on to that, dude. We're coming up on almost an hour and a half. In all seriousness, do you want to do another episode?
Yes, we might be playing schedule tag for a little while.
That's fine. No, dude, I would love to do one. So I did an episode earlier today. Whenever I do a second one, you're never getting the best. You know, my brain's already a little bit fried. It's no, but dude, I would love to do like a first one of the day and just fucking tackle this shit for like 3 hours.
Yeah, man. Yeah, let's do it.
Fuck yeah, dude. I told you I'd only keep you for an hour. It's been an hour and a half, but dude, yes, let's do it, man.
Time flies when you're having fun, bro.
Yeah, dude. It's so nice to meet someone else who's not at, or maybe, I don't know, maybe you're just equally as fucking crazy, and when we're convincing each other our insanity is normal. But yeah, dude, you're crazier than me, man. You actually went and did a year of it and then bailed. I said fuck it from the beginning. You're crazier than me.
I've done that because, dude, like, I had to pay for that.
Yeah,
shit.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. You had to fucking pay it.
That's a fucking mortgage. So I need this company to work out so I can pay off my goddamn student loans.
Well, dude, my uncle's a doctor. I remember him telling me, he was like, find out now whether or not you have cold feet. And I was like, why? He's like, because you can't just do a year of it. He was like, the only way you can pay off the only way you can pay off loans becoming a doctor is by becoming a doctor. It's the only way you can pay that shit off. You can't pay that shit off with a regular job. So yeah, man, I feel better talking to you. I'm like, all right.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. Like, so in the future, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, man, look, like, honestly, when I read that comment, I was like, oh, I fucks with him. Like, I haven't even met him, and I fucks with him.
Fuck yeah. Fuck dude, yeah.
Dude, as soon as I read that, I was like, dude.
Right.
I never, and I remember complaining to my wife, like, yo, there is not a person, nobody else, like, does this.
No one does
this.
And
she's like, yeah, there's somebody else. Like,
you got me, I'm, dude. I'm not sure if there's a third, though. I don't know if there's... Because it's like what we talked about. You either dip your toes in and you got debt, or it's just the whole pressure of, like, I work so hard to get in. What's everyone going to say?
Right, yeah, man. Yeah.
You and I, yeah, I don't know.
It might almost be
bad if this podcast succeeds and your robotic company succeeds, because I feel like it's not a good... I feel like we don't want to start a trend of people dropping out of medical. Like, no, we need doctors. Like, you know, it's not, isn't a solid trend. Like, hey, they did it. Like, no, this is a bad idea. Like, be a doctor. Don't do it. But
yeah. And like, I tell people, and I'm very candid, I'm like, don't do what I did. This shit fucking sucks. Like,
yeah.
It sounds like an epic story, but this shit sucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's dude, I like, you know, when I have friends and, you know, much younger than me in college, and they're like, well, you know, you got in, you decided not to. And I tell them, and I'm like, hey, that's my story. I'm like, if this isn't what you want, do nursing school or be a physician's assistant or go to pharmacy school. Yeah. I'm like, don't fucking do what I did. Like, hey, epic story. And if this podcast works out, if your robotics company works out, the story will be that much sexier. But while we're in it, like, hey, don't do it. Don't do it. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like meth, not even once. It's like, no, just don't do it. Like, no, you're going to be a doctor or don't. Just, dude.
Yeah. And that, like, honestly, that's what I tell people. I'm like, I don't discourage people from doing medicine. I'm like, just make sure you really want to do it, because when you are in it, you are in it.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, you are in it.
Yeah.
And, but I will say, like, there are, I can see why I got to that conclusion. Like, I could see, because there was a time when I was like, yeah, I think I want to be a surgeon. And like, when I'm sitting there and I'm trying to solder a teeny tiny ass resistor on a board and I can't slip but like this far, and I'm just really focused, and I'm like talking to my friends, like, I can see the aspects of that surgeon coming out of me.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, ask me that. All right. Yeah, well, we're going to go with this gauge wire because blah, 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 blah. Here's this. We're going to desolder this, put it there, go. And I could see, and I was with one of my business partners, and we were building up a robot, and I was doing that. And he was like, okay, Dr. Shepherd. I was like, shut the fuck up,
fuck
bro.
You, dude. Fuck you. You're goddamn right. I'm a doctor. Yeah. Dude, I still have my, I still have my pamphlet from when I went to, fall 2013, when I went to Miami. USC, Keck, in Los Angeles, and Tulane. I've kept my little pamphlets and name tags. And people are always like, why do you keep that? I'm like, because this is the only goddamn proof I have that I got in. And I didn't go on to become an MD, but goddamn it, I tried really hard and I got in. So, like, yeah, I always bring it up. I'm like, hey, like, I get defensive about it. I'm like, I'm not fucking stupid. I got into med school. And they're like, all right, man. Yeah, you're smart enough to get in, dumb enough to not finish. Like, goddamn it.
So do I still have anything? No, I think I don't know what I did with my white coat. I think I gave it away, or I returned it or something, because it's not doing any good to me. And then I gave away like my stethoscope, my suture kit. Like, actually, I'm trying to think, do I have anything from there? No, just the memories. And I mean, they weren't all bad, but I just, it just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
And but ironically, so we were talking about using the robots in a clinical setting. One of my really good friends from when I was in med school, she's doing neurology up at Wake Forest right now. And she was like, hey, I want to do a study with this. And so we're trying to work out the details of that now. So it's like, maybe I went to med school just to meet her.
Just to.
And like.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean,
like, when I met her, she was like, I couldn't stand her at first, but then she became like a little sister to me. So like, she would always hang out with my wife and I. Like, one time her and my wife got sick, and so I was up taking care of both of them at like 3 a.m. So that kind of thing. And like, just, I wouldn't be surprised if if that's how it played out, where it's like, damn, if I hadn't gone to med school, I wouldn't have met you. Because, like, to be honest, like, I, again, it's not about the money, but if there is a clinical are there any clinical implications to this technology?
Fuck yeah.
I'm going to have to lawyer up really quick.
Yeah. And goddamn right.
So with that, like, honestly, like, who knows? And it at this point, I'm here for the ride, and I'm just trying to make good things happen.
Fuck yeah, man. Well, dude, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man.
This was setting the core. This was setting the stage. Let's definitely do another one, and let's.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll text you after this. Let's find a day that we can just jump on in this, get a workout, and then just jump right into it. Because it's second podcast. My brain's never as fresh, so you're not getting full brain power. But fuck yeah, man. Aaron,
yeah, man, definitely.
Thank you very much for doing it.
Thanks for having me. Like, it's always like I love meeting new people, and I love to talk. So,
yeah, dude, that's why I started it. That's literally why I started this, because I love fucking talking to people. Maybe I just love hearing my voice, but either way, I don't give a fuck. I'm doing it.
Yeah, man. Listen, one thing is I can't stand the sound of my own voice. So
me neither. That's why I don't watch any of my own episodes.
No, I will share this left, right, up and down, but I probably will not watch it.
I don't watch any of them. I don't watch any of them. I can't fucking stand listening to myself. I listen and I'm like, who's that fucking dumbass?
Like, yeah, exactly. I hate listening to myself.
Yeah, yeah. I cringe when I check my channel to see like subscribers, and I accidentally click one of the videos and it's me like, yeah, man, I don't know. And I'm just like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Such a piece of shit. I hate me. Yeah. Yeah, dude.
Nah, but what was it? So we can definitely talk about this next time. But I ended up about a year ago, I actually did a TEDx talk, and so that's really cool. Oh, and that's it's an amazing experience.
Don't go into that. Save that for the next one. I don't even. I don't want to half ass it.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I still haven't watched that talk all the way because I don't like the way I sound. So I'm sitting here, like, people are like, yeah, did you watch it? I'm like, no, I was.
No, I fucking
gave it. I don't need to watch it. I know what I said.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, man. That was me.
Yeah.
And it was like, the reality is I just don't like the way I sound on camera at all. Like,
dude, so. I get it. Hey, man, I get it entirely. I'm not going to watch this. I edit it. And when it starts like processing, I just leave the room. I'm like, I can't listen to it. I can't fucking listen. I'm not kidding. I leave the room. I get it going and I leave the goddamn room. Cause I can't listen to it. I can't listen to my dumbass voice. And I do it at night so I can go to sleep and not like I put a fan next to it so it drowns out the noise, dude. Like, I'm not bullshitting you. I'm not just preaching. Like, I hate this shit. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Yeah, man. We're definitely gonna have to find a day where we can go a long round, 3 hours.
All in. Fuck yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. I've done two that were like 2.5 hours and they were a fucking blast. It's just like I said. It's like for you know, special cases where it's like a podcast I really want to do, not shitting on other guests, but like you, you're like, I can't do it till after 5:30. I was like, all right, I'm like, I have to do this. Like, but normally, dude, all my other ones, I do it like 11 in the morning, latest noon, because my brain's just not firing. Like, day goes on, I get up at like 5-6, go to the gym, like by like 2 p.m., my brain's already like half speed. I can barely talk right now. So that's why I want to have you on, so we can go goddamn Tony Stark and Bruce Banner.
Let's do it, man.
Fuck yeah, brother.
Let's all right, go, dude. Man.
Thank you very much for coming on. I'll send you a link when this shit's uploaded, and I'll text you. Let's get another one going, dude.
Yeah, definitely. And when you send me the link, I won't listen to it, but I will share it with all my friends. And yeah, I'll try to put my podcast out there.
Fuck
for
yeah,
it.
Dude.
Or your podcast. Your podcast.
I'll give you a piece. All right, dude. Thank you very much. Man. Take it easy.
All right, see you. Peace, bro.